Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the MediCafe. Grab your cup of coffee or tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars today. And literally, it is a pretty quiet day. Not only is the moon in void of course and not making any new contacts to anything, it's an extraordinarily long void of course moon, and we won't see any return to moon's actions until tomorrow morning at 2:34 or so, 2:52 a.m. my time. So 5:52 a.m. for you all on the East Coast. So that means from 10:23 last night, my time. So granted, that means it was 1 a.m. for you all on the East Coast today. The moon went into void in the sign of Aquarius. Its last contact with any planet was the planet Jupiter. Luckily, long-term sextile to the planet Jupiter, and a sextile being a nice even exchange of the gifts and talents of the moon with the gifts and the talents of Jupiter being transmitted directly down to us, wherever that is in your chart, then you're left with this long-term good feeling of being able to be expansive, but also do things in the right timing and in the right way with the right tools. And hopefully that good feeling lasts for you throughout the day today and into the evening. And that's literally it. I could have drawn the curtain right here and ended the day, right? That is it. It's not a really busy moon sort of day. And it's the moon that we really derive most of the daily energy from. And oops, forgot to turn my phone off, guys. Sorry. And so when the moon is in void, of course, a lot of our own day is, you know, the energy is sort of tamped down and we are not able to start new things perhaps, or if you do, they tend to not go anywhere. And so you want to be very circumspect today in terms of what is it that you are doing. If you're working on a project that you already had in action, great. If you want to spend the day in study or in yoga or meditation or Qigong or in Reiki, healing people, that's all great things for the day, just not pushing our way into anything new. So with that, let's say good morning to Debbie Hedden. Nice to see you. Allison and Natasha, good morning. And Jan and Debbie, oh, that's where you checked in. Gotcha. And Natasha, good morning. Colleen, good to see everybody out there so early in the morning. You know, the days are getting shorter. You can feel it already. You can see it. Like I know now when I wake up and it's still dark, that it's possibly really time for me to get up because it's starting to be dark in the morning when I get up, and then it's chillier in the morning and you just feel like, oh, I need that cup of coffee right now. And thus the coffee. So this morning then I thought what we would do instead of talking about the moon and all of its different things that it does, today is really a great day to talk about Mars, because Mars is sort of highly activated at the moment, or it is activating. I would never really think of Mars as being activated so much as it's the activator. He is the sort of push behind everything that happens. If the moon represents timing, Mars represents the energy to do it. And so if the time is right and Mars energy is in the mood to push, we can get things done. Mars is sort of that dynamic forward motion, that feeling of being able to take steps and deliberately push our way forward. So today, and literally for the last couple of days, actually, Mars has been in a sextile to the North Node. Now, maybe some of you don't know this, but the nodes represent an axis in our chart of destiny, the direction that we're moving in our lifetime, as well as where we've been. So it's often called the Dragon's Head, the North Node, and the Dragon's Tail, the South Node, and it comprises the whole of the dragon, right? The dragon is sort of the trajectory, if you will, of your life. And the younger you are, the more apt you are to use the energy of the South Node and be reliant on that old way of doing things. And if you are a little bit older than maybe over age 40 or so, you begin to really see that those old ways don't work, or that there's something wrong in your approach, or it's often coincides with the Uranus a halfway point, the midlife crisis, and then we shift and we begin moving toward the north node in our charts, wherever that may be. And as we begin that move to the north node, then things begin to be revealed for us, and we are able to see our path forward. So when we're looking at a planet like Mars sitting in an this is a good relationship, a sextile with the north node. So we may begin to really be able to see where we have to leave some things behind in order to be able to move ahead. That's the good news here. Now, you also have a personal north node and a personal destiny that may be different than what it is that we're talking about right now. So really, when I'm thinking about this, I'm looking at the bigger picture, and I see Mars, and I see people going, there has got to be a better way, right? That there has got to be a better way for this world to move forward. And recognition then on the heels of that coming, that I can nurture my own little piece of the world, my own little piece of heaven here, and make it bigger and focus my energy there and impact the whole of the world doing what I do best. That is what I think Mars in the North Node is doing here. Now, if Mars is in a sextile to the North Node, it is also in a trine then to the South Node. So we have a dichotomy going on here where the gifts and the talents of Mars and the North Node work together well, but there's this little lazy piece going on with the trine to the South Node where it's just so much easier just to do things the way I've always done them, right? And to stretch and grow just feels like a little bit too much energy, more than I really want to do right now. And that is, you know, where you can get caught up or stuck in the energy of the nodal axis and not taking any steps. So while a trine is beneficent energy, it works well, it's smooth, it can be a place of laziness where we have to a little bit get put a little bit more oomph behind what we do, and then what we do could be great, as opposed to the opposite, which is to just let sit back and let it all happen without any consciousness in it for ourselves. So I hope that makes sense for everybody. And like I said, you have your own personal destiny and your own personal South Node happening in your life somewhere as well. If it's not in Cancer and Capricorn, then this is sort of ancillary to what your own destiny is and what you should be working on. But the message here is that we have to be working on something. And we have to be able to exert ourselves out into the world doing what it is that we do best, right? Doing what you do best, not what everybody else thinks you should do, but what you know is true for you. Now, at the same time, Mars is also, if it's not having just done this, it is in the process of getting ready to do this, trining Saturn, the South Node, of course, and Pluto. And in the next day or two, it will also oppose Neptune. So this has been a tricky sort of set of transits, as you know, the planets were all sort of gathered together in Virgo. So anything in opposition to Virgo, of course, Pisces energy. Pisces is where Neptune and the Black Moon Lilith are sitting. And so we've got this trigger of our shadow, of the place where we're not being true, of that overwhelm and confusion. And Mars comes in and stirs the pot, right? It sort of stirs all that up. And once it's like, you know, when I make my hummingbird food, I put a cup of sugar in the bottom and fill it with 8 ounces of water, and I stir, and I'm stirring to dissolve the sugar. Well, Mars is dissolving the sugar, right? So you could get all this heavy sediment and all of this heavy inaction that sits there. And then the more it sits there, the more confusing things get. And if you start to stir, Mars stirs and agitates, and then it dissolves, and you have something new, sugar water in my case, right? Not just sugar and water, but sugar water. So we're getting our sugar water on, right? We're getting things stirred up. And we're getting our things agitated, our lives agitated, so that we'll get on board with living out the truth of who we are meant to be. So, all good stuff. Now, let's look at some of the things that Mars rules, because I think that might be interesting to look at as well. Good morning to Debbie Tibbetts. Tumiel, good morning. Colleen says, yes, I missed the sun already. Stephanie Compton, great to see you out there. Lynn, good morning. Tanya Sloan Storm, good morning, first time watcher. Well, welcome to you, Tanya. I recognize your name. I think I might have done a human design chart or something for you yesterday, maybe. And Debbie says, welcome to you. We're always such a great bunch of people here. Ann Stevens, this is her second one. Welcome to you, Ann. Stephanie, I love it. I don't know, are you in the States, Stephanie, or are you joining us from Australia? Kristen, good morning. Latricia, good morning to you. Linda, good morning to you too. I love it. I just love it. I love saying good morning to all you bright, shiny faces. Now, if I could see your bright, shiny faces, that would make my day even better. I'll just pretend I see your faces. Okay, so let's look at some of the things that Mars rules, because Mars is an interesting planet. It's very masculine. And here I am sitting to a predominantly feminine audience. Not that there aren't men out there listening. And if you are out there listening, I mean, no disrespect, but we are dealing with a bunch of feminine energy here in the morning. And now we are having to look very closely at the masculine energy. Why? Well, because the need is to balance the both, right? You can't. We can't be overly one way or overly the other, because then the reflection that we get in the outer world is one of imbalance, you know, where there are power struggles and where things don't work well. So when we look at Mars, first of all, in astrology, Mars is the planet that rules the sign of Aries. So here we have this idea that Mars is initiating energy, right? Aries being the first sign of the zodiac, the first sign. So it is the sign on the new zodiac year or the new horoscope year. And that means it's also a youthful sort of energy. So Mars is, so we've got two keywords now. We've got youthful. We could also say it's an immature energy at first. In Aries, it is immature, but it's also exploring and it's bold and it's courageous and it steps out into the world, almost like the Fool does on the tarot deck, where he steps out into the world and is willing to fall off the edge of the cliff if need be in order to have the experiences of living. And then the other sign that Mars rules or co-rules is Scorpio. So now we have a more mature sign. We have a more mature way of being in the world, but we've also gotten a little bit jaded here, perhaps, and in that there's jealousy and possessiveness that can mar things, and intensity of the action, and even sometimes a lack of the emotion that it takes to be able to move through this world in a really healthy way. Not that Scorpio doesn't have emotions. They feel emotions deeply. They just remain locked up within them. So Mars can sometimes be locked up and lacking emotional energy. Now, of course, a lot of this depends on what sign it is in your own chart and how that energy is going to play out for you personally. So when we look at some of the more specific things that Mars rules energy. So when you feel like you've got a lot going on, your Mars is probably well placed, or it is transiting through a part of your chart that ramps up your energy. It rules action, which we've already talked about, the ability, it's dynamic action. So it's that pushing forward ever more pushing forward or moving forward. It represents stamina and courage. And it is also sometimes restless and reckless, restless and or reckless energy. It is especially reckless when it is acting on the immature side of the spectrum. In human design, when we look at Mars, we talk about it in terms of where it is that you are going to mature in your life. So if your Mars is sitting, let's say, at the gate 29, and I'm just making this up, I don't know where it is. I do know what gate it's at right now. But let's just say it's sitting at the gate 29, which is the gate of commitment, of saying yes. It may, in its youth, feel like saying yes to everything, and thus it diffuses its energy and never really feels like it's getting anything done. As it matures, it takes on the energy of saying yes to the correct things, right? Being very judicious in what they say yes to. And so you see a maturity moving through the gate's energy. Mars represents that maturity. In youth, it's a little more reckless, or in immaturity, it's a little more reckless. But it does represent vitality, right? When besides the sun, it is the second most energetic piece of the puzzle. Energetic as in the energy of the outer world of pushing outward. The sun's energy is also pushing outward. Some energies are more moving inward. These are two, the sun and Mars, that push outward. And there is the potential here for aggression or assertiveness. This is the male principle, and the male principle is meant to protect. And as it's protecting, it puts out that aggressive energy. And on the other side, the more positive side of that, it could be assertive energy, being able to assert itself in the world in a non-aggressive way, but just by standing its ground. It can be egocentric energy. Now, when I think of ego and will, I think of Mars. Even though in human design it has its own center that's not particularly Mars driven, it is definitely, in my mind, egocentric behavior comes when we are pushing our will onto others. And in that, then, there can be cruelty and brutality. The Mars principle, in its over aggressive nature, can become cruel. And it is also strategic and competitive, enterprising. And it is possibility that they're pushing outward in order to expand freedom, the freedom of action. And often that male principle then is conquering, and it is territorial, and it is cynical, jealous, fighting spirit, perseverance comes in all of that. So as you can see, Mars can have a lot of territory that it covers. It also rules things that cut or things that hit. So it can be the if you get cuts, or metal, anything sharp is ruled by the planet Mars. And so often when there are a lot of heavy duty Mars transits, we will warn you, especially if Mars and Uranus come together, we will warn you to take care around metal because you could cut yourself. You could literally, automobiles were flying around all day in these things that are primarily made of metal. And so road rage and using the metal as a weapon. Think about weapons in themselves. They're made of metal, no matter what the weapon is, really. They're made of metal, and metal is Mars territory. So there you have it. We have a lot of different things that we can think of with Mars. On the upside, we have being able to take assertive action. We have momentum building toward taking action. On the negative side, we can be bullying or pushing our way into something with our Mars energy being, utilizing endurance and perseverance in the negative as opposed to the positive. So Mars, without Mars, we don't have a lot of impulse energy to do anything. So we have to have our Mars, right? We have to have Mars. And we need to be able to understand how to use our Mars. And then in the world, when we have a lot of Mars contacts like we do today, we may see a lot of jockeying and positioning and masculine huffing and bluffing energy out there. And when I was sort of looking through the news this morning, you could see that bluster out there, both here in this country and also abroad, where Brexit is a major concern in Europe, and over here where every day is a new day in terms of what happened, in co what happens in our government, our politics. And in the high side, Mars really shows us where we're moving forward in our technology and in our ability to sustain ourselves. So again, Mars positive, but Mars also has some of the more low energies or negative energies that it expresses. Now, as we look at Mars in a trine to the trio in Capricorn, and that trio being Saturn, the South Node, and Pluto, remember earlier in the year, around April, we were talking about the three of them coming together. And in that coming together, they were actually creating destruction, kind of destroying the old and or exposing the old and its weaknesses in order to be able to rebuild. And we used the model of if you were going to remodel your house, for example, you can't just bring in new cabinetry and new flooring and new paint on old surfaces, right? You need to sort of gut whatever it is that you have that's old in order to be able to build something new that's sustainable. Sure, I could slap a coat of paint over the paint on my walls, but pretty soon it would probably peel because I neglected to dust or clean or primer that wall first, right? So it showed us that there was this old passing away. But before we could build something new, we had to get ready for that. And Mars now is showing us that I think we are ready, right? But to get ready means that there may still be some more things that you have to clear out, some prep work that you have to do in order to build a more sustainable structure, right? So if I'm going to redo my floor, I'm going to have to either take out the old floor. My deck was just redone, right? And when he stripped off the old, he could see that some of the old boards were rotted. So he had to strip those off because you can't just put the new decking over old, rotting boards, or else you don't have a sustainable deck, right? So here's, if you take that and you, that metaphor, and you apply it to your own life, this is also what we are dealing with in our daily lives. We are stripping away the old, preparing the new surface, and then ready to build something new. And that might be building a new relationship. That might be building a new career. It might be building your health, the strength of your body. It may be building a new financial system in the bigger world, right? It might be many different things. It all depends on where this is happening in your chart, but you can almost be guaranteed that right now, you're seeing where maybe you're at that edge, right? You're on the knife's edge between going backwards to the old, being lazy and just putting the old stuff, putting the new stuff over the old, which of course does not lead to sustainability, or just recognizing that this is done and it's time to move forward with something new, being courageous, tapping into that Mars courage and that Mars stamina to build what comes next in a good way. I hope this is making sense to everybody. Does anybody have questions? Let me know. Jan, this is the best part of the morning for me with you all. I love it. Kiki, good morning. Stephanie says she's watching from Australia. It's 1 a.m. a day ahead. It means it's tomorrow there already. Good morning, Suzanne. It's good to see you. By the way, fun thing. Now, I love technology, but there's some things that just annoy the crap out of me. And one thing that was annoying me to no end was that I kept losing my cursor. A lot of the backgrounds and things now are very light. They're almost white, and I can't stand this. But there's often many sites that use this very light gray sort of writing on a white background, and I'm like, what are they thinking? Do they not want people to read their content? Because as soon as I see that, I'm gone. Well, one of the things I'd been struggling with recently was my cursor. I kept losing it in the white and the gray of the background. Did you know you can, if you have a PC and maybe even on a Mac, I don't know, that and you're running Windows, that you can change your cursor, the size and the color? So I now have this pink cursor. It's the same color as my website's pink, the purpley pink, and it's bigger, so I can find it. I don't lose it anymore, and I love that. That's just an aside. So anyway, just a fun thing to throw out there for everybody this morning. Okay, any questions about Mars and what Mars is bringing us to before I go to the next step with Mars? If so, please put those comments or your questions in the chat there and let me know how you're feeling about Mars in your own chart or in your own life if you know your chart. Now, the next big thing coming is Mars in an opposition to Neptune. And Mars and Neptune are definitely not in compatible territory. They really don't understand one another. So Mars being a planet of action and a planet of groundedness, and I'm here on this planet and I'm going to do and I'm going to do and I'm going to do. But Neptune represents the spiritual principle. It represents the energy of beingness. Mars doingness and Neptune beingness. So we have an opposition. They're pulling in different directions. Mars wants his way. Neptune wants his way. And so we have this tug of war in the sky getting ready to affect us if it's not already affecting us. Let's see. Today, Mars is at 15 degrees of Virgo and Neptune is at 17 degrees of Virgo. That is what we say is in orb. Within orb means they're already affecting one another. So we may be being pushed and pulled between it. Oh, this makes total sense to me now. We have had some really odd void of course moons, some very long periods of the moon being in void of course, while we have Mars action that wants to do and wants to go. So it's kind of funny, right? The moon is also slowing us down a bit when it turns into the void. It wants beingness, while Mars would have it, if he had his way, he would keep pushing us and pushing us. So we have this opposition, and we're going to have to come to the middle. The only way to deal with that is to come to the middle, is to remember that you are a human being. There is nothing about you that is all about doing. And it is only in our minds and in this civilization that we've built where production and how much you can do is more valued than who you be. And that makes no sense at all. If you really look at, if you step back out of our human existence and look back in, you would realize that we are working against our natures, right? No wonder we have illnesses. No wonder we have stress. No wonder we have anxiety. No wonder we have major diseases that take us out, because we're constantly wandering into territory that isn't true to us, right? Trueness is about beingness and doingness in balance. And Mars and Neptune are pulling us in those two different directions. Now, also, when you look at the human design gates that Mars is sitting at, it is creating confusion, right? It's stirring that pot, but it's creating confusion. And Neptune rules confusion. So Neptune has sort of got the higher hand here in that we may be confused about what direction to take. I've been sitting on a decision I need to make for about 5 days now, maybe longer, since about last Friday. And I cannot make a decision. And it's annoying as hell, because I can make, I'm usually quite decisive. But I can't seem to make up my mind on this one yet. And literally, there's a time limit on this. And in a way, it's almost overwhelming to me, because I'm really confused about what direction to go, or what direction not to go, such is the case. So you all may be feeling that as well, like caught up here, and almost like a spider in a web, where it's like, I'm stuck here, but where do I go? You know, I need to move, I need to do something. But we have to remember, in balance, we are human beings. And when the energy is right, when the timing is right, when the opportunity is right, according to your type, strategy, and authority, then you make the decision for movement. Unfortunately, Mars likes movement, and sometimes we are taking a lot of steps without really knowing what we're doing. I was chatting with a woman yesterday, and I knew from the moment that I got on the line with her that she was a manifesting generator. She was talking fast. She was moving all over the page. I mean, we covered, I don't know, 10 topics in the first 5 minutes of the conversation. And I knew that that was, you know, someone that had a lot of energy and could apply that energy in a lot of different ways. So when you have a manifesting generator type, and you have this kind of Mars energy, you could be out there throwing spaghetti at the walls, seeing what is going to stick. And maybe you don't even care what sticks. You're just doing that to relieve the tension, the anxiety, the worry that builds up if you feel like you are not taking enough action. So we have to square that with ourselves right now, right? It may just be that it's not time to take those steps yet. In fact, today would not be a good day to take any new steps, but tomorrow is another day, right? So we have kind of this on again, off again energy, this movement and then rest, movement and rest. But by the way, that is the actual nature of the universe. Movement, rest, movement, rest. But we keep thinking, in our Western world in particular, to keep moving and moving and moving. And if you're not moving, you're lazy. And if you're not moving, maybe you would think more about what your situation is. And maybe you would be more meditative, and maybe you'd be more in tune with your inner world. So we have an outer world focus that we have to start squaring, start merging with our inner world, right? So there we go. Debbie, love these colors. Oh, I know. I love this peach. But the, you know, because it's dark outside, it almost feels like the light is too glary on me this morning. I don't know, but I do love these colors. They're my favorites. Stephanie, Mars is transiting through my Mars, Uranus, and Pluto opposite Saturn. I need to tap into that Mars courage. Oh yes. Now that's a difficult transit. Mars, your natal Mars, Uranus, and Pluto are opposed by Saturn right now. Is that what you're saying? Mars is transiting through my Mars, Uranus, and Pluto opposite Saturn. Yeah. So Mars courage here. But it's also rebuilding energy. And I'm not sure what it is that you might be in the midst of rebuilding, but whatever it is, it might be now that Mars is coming through this part of your chart where you can see the path forward. And then all that's needed is the courage to take that first step and then that next step. And remembering, Stephanie, that everything always works one step in front of the other. I can't remember if you're a manifesting generator, a generator. I just don't remember that at the moment, or even a projector, but let the steps be revealed to you, right? Let the world bring it, or the universe bring it to you, and then you choose what to do with that. Don't be pushing yourself into it. That is a lot of energy building up, and you want to be watchful for burnout, right? Because that to me spells almost like I'll do anything to relieve the pressure and the tension, and then I might be doing too much, so I don't sit down and think, or my mind doesn't take over in me. So just be cool. Okay, now let's take a look at the human design energies for Mars. I told you we already went through this last week, so I really don't have to go too far into this, but literally for the next foreseeable future, the human design Mars is at gate 64 and then at gate 47. So if I look at Mars in my ephemeris here until the 22nd, so right now he's at 64, which remembers the gate of confusion in the shadow. It is imagination in the gift and illumination up in the highest expression of the gate. And that is where the sun was sitting last week. So sun and Mars, remember they were in a conjunction. And on September 3rd, remember that day that all of them were sitting at 10 degrees of Virgo and at the gate 64, where the pathway was filled perhaps with confusion. And we were being asked to move into our imagination to imagine more. And then at the same time, at that week, Earth was sitting at gate 47, bringing us the possibility for an epiphany or an aha. Well, later this month, then actually right now the sun is at gate 47, and then Mars will move to the gate 47 and create a pathway there for us for epiphany. So all we have to do is be a little bit patient. One of the words I didn't give you was impatience. Mars is really impatient. It wants now. It wants done now. But if that happens and you're out of time, out of sync with what's correct, then you're just beating yourself up against that wall, or you're using up valuable energy and time and resources on the wrong things. So it does pay right now to be patient and to hold space until you have actual aha energy that comes to you. It will come to you. And not you going out looking for it. You hold space for it. It will happen. And then you'll see what direction that you head into. So that we have clear all the way up until the 22nd, just about the day before the autumn equinox, spring equinox, for those of you down in Australia. And that means we have this long period of time where we have to monitor how much energy we're using. Right, how far and how fast we're moving forward, because it may be that we're pushing ourselves into areas that we shouldn't be, or not going where the universe has opened up the pathway for us. So it's a little bit tricky right now for us energetically, but not anything that we can't get through. We've been here before, maybe with other planets, but and remember last year we had that stop sign energy right at the beginning of the year where we really, really wanted to go, and we had stop sign energy. And then suddenly it broke free and we had forward motion again available. Well, that's kind of where we are now. We're moving one day, stopping the next. We have to do it all in the right timing with the right opportunities. So, all right, I hope that's helpful for everybody. If we look at the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day, we are at two seeing energy. And I find this interesting against the backdrop of everything we've been talking about too. For those of you who are joining us for the first time and are new, we every morning take a look at the Pleiadian Earth energy calendar. I've got my handy dandy 2019 version of it right here. And by the way, don't forget, you can get your 2020 one of these now. Let me show it to you guys. The Pleiadian Earth energy calendar 2019. And the Pleiadian Earth energy calendar is based on a consciousness raising model of a calendar. It has a 13-day week. each one of those numbers is a universal day number. So the energy, no matter where you are in our universe, would be resonant with that energy of that number. And the second part of that day is the earth energy, which is represented by a word, which takes us into a deeper expression of that energy. This is very similar to the Mayan calendar. And I'm pretty sure, and I've had conversations with the people that wrote that, got this downloaded to them by the Pleiadians, and the Pleiadians had shared this information with the Maya. And the Maya had said very much so through their different writings that they were gifted their calendar system by the star men, star people. And I would bet those star people were from the Pleiades. And so let's talk about today's energy. We had begun a new week yesterday with the one energy. And today we move into two universal energy, which is the energy of duality. So we're having to merge opposites. Energy of doing, energy of being, right here, right? How do we balance those two? And how do we give voice to both? How do we live in a world? This world is based in duality. This particular planet, maybe not all the planets are based in duality, but certainly on this planet, we are based in duality and polarization. So here we are learning how to merge the two, to accept and be okay with opposite perspectives, right? Doing, being. And how important both sides are, two different sides of the same coin. The earth energy today is seeing energy, which in the Mayan calendar was men, and men represented the eagle. And so it's not men like people men, it is men, the word, which represented eagle. And here we have the energy of seeing, rising to a higher perspective in order to see more clearly, to be able to hold those different perspectives or to hold both of those perspectives. There's new ideas, perhaps, and details that we can see more clearly today, but we don't want to get dived into the details and forget that there's a bigger picture. So don't lose the bigger picture, but also pay attention to the details. So an interesting day from the Pleiadian point of view as well. And I think that is it for, oh no, I had one more thing I wanted to do. First of all, any other, she's a projector looking for the invitation. That's right, Stephanie. You and Londa both are projectors. So you're waiting for the invitation. And in the meantime, living your life with joy and doing the things that are supportive of you, that you love to do, while you're waiting for the next big thing to come along and invite you in. So enjoy that, right? Enjoy that time. All right. I wanted to talk to you guys. I drew out my Wisdom Keeper Inner Guidebook, right? From Rosie Aronson, who was on the show here a few months back, and she shared this deck of oracle cards with us. And I wanted us to take a look at graciousness, which was the gene key 22. Gene key is just another word for the gate. A deeper look at the gates in human design are in the gene keys. So in human design, there is the gate 22, which is grace or graciousness. And in the gene keys, what we see is a layered effect, a dimensional look at that energy of graciousness. In the shadow, right, the lower expression of the energy of graciousness is dishonor. The gift is graciousness, and the highest expression, if we could get to the very top of this energy, it would be grace. And that is what we're looking at here with two planets sitting here this week. One is the planet Neptune, which has been here for a while. And then two is the Earth is sitting there this week. So here we are on the Earth. We are meant to embody this energy of graciousness this week. And as I was telling you yesterday, 22, the gene key 22, you can just barely see the number in there. Is as a representation of our inner evolution. So our involution, right? We have an outer evolution that is expressed through the gene key 55, and we have an inner involution or evolution that is occurring through the gene key 22. So I know some of you that are new, you may not understand that, But we talk about it here because it's holographic and it takes us through where are we in the shadow? If we're living out the shadow energy, where are we? And what is that experience? And if we are in the shadow, we are meant to move up to the gift level, at least, where we can change the paradigm, change the energy, literally in our DNA. So for those of you who are new here, you have 64 gates in your human design. There are 64 gene keys, which is what this book works, both human design and gene keys. And by the way, the gene keys is a book written by Richard Rudd. I don't have mine sitting out here, but certainly it is well worth it to get that book and to really start doing a deep dive into the depth of who you really are. And then we also have 64 codons in our DNA. So there's a real coherence between the little teeny tiny building blocks of who we are and the gene keys and the human design, as well as this is all based in the Chinese I Ching, an ancient divination system. So I love the coherence and how we can bring forth something ancient and apply it to what we know for today. So anyway, in this book, everything is arranged in a wisdom story, and then a gift, and then questions for contemplation. So let's dive in here. It says, graciousness means that you act with grace and consideration in everything you do. And here's the wisdom story. I was born into a well-respected family that cared a great deal about its reputation. But beneath the veneer, there was a terrible dysfunction. When my body began to change into a beautiful young woman's body, an admired family member abused me sexually. I felt too afraid and ashamed to tell anyone what was happening. Instead, I tried desperately not to feel. Whenever a forbidden feeling arose in my heart, I'd throw myself on the floor and pray that God would make me good and pious. Because I showed such unusual religious fervor for a young girl, I was sent to a secluded monastery to live a modest life of study and prayer. Relieved to be in such a safe place, I gladly renounced all material things, took a vow of celibacy, and dedicated my life to selflessness. To all at the monastery, I was a proper, calm, and balanced woman and a keen listener. But on the inside, I often seethed with inappropriate feelings that I couldn't bear to accept, much less express. I distrusted my pain, rejected my beauty, hated my needs, and judged my desires. I couldn't say no to requests for support even when I was sick. I felt disgust at even the tiniest bit of passion, anger, or sexual feelings within me. One day, during a prayer group, a sister bravely shared about an experience of having been raped as a child. In the midst of her sharing, my body was hit by a tidal wave of memories, humiliation, and shame. Instead of looking up to God and praying for the feelings to go away, I buried my head in my hands and sobbed. For the first time in my life, I shared about what had happened to me. I hid nothing from anyone, not even myself. As the pain, shame, and loneliness of my past erupted out of my throat, I felt a kind of light and love descend into my chest, one I'd never experienced in all of my days of prayer. And when I opened my eyes, I was met with such love, compassion, and respect that it felt like the entire cosmos was singing. Now I regard myself as deeply as I regard others. I no longer need to hide my beauty, dishonor my boundaries, or withhold my feelings to engage graciously with the world. My gift to you. I've come to tell you that there is nothing in you that is unworthy of love or of reverence. The very things you think you should hide or get rid of are exactly what need to be seen, felt, and expressed. Push nothing away. Transparency is the ultimate path toward grace. Be unwaveringly gracious towards every part of yourself, every feeling, every painful experience. By honoring all that is within you, you will experience the poetry and music of even the most agonizing moments. You will naturally find yourself being gracious towards others, touching their emotions, hearts, and souls with the milk of human kindness, and they will bloom in your presence. At your core, you are a gloriously unique manifestation of grace. Honor your suffering and you will discover your gift to the world. Mm. And then there are always questions for contemplation that I always post later for you all. And here they are. Are there ways that you dishonor yourself or others? On the outside, do you appear kind, balanced, and a good listener? But inside, do you feel angry, resentful, or full of forbidden desire? Have you ever held so much inside you that you exploded? What were the consequences to yourself and those around you? Think of a part of you, a feeling or experience that you reject as bad or inappropriate. How can you embrace it? And how can you bring more graciousness into your life? Great story. Great card. I love this, right? She's got such softness in her eyes, such love. The third eye as a heart. Lovely, lovely. All right. So questions, comments. What's up with everybody? Ashley, sorry so late. Good morning. Good morning to you. Debbie says, off to get my grandson. Have a great day. You too, Debbie. Have fun with your grandson. Susan Bromlin, good morning to you. All right. So I think that is it for me this morning. I'm sorry if you're just joining and I'm leaving. But it is 8:45. Oh my goodness. So we've been here for a good long time today. Remember, the moon is void of course today, so don't try anything new. Don't start anything new that you expect to go anywhere, right? Kind of finish what you're started already, work on what's in front of you, move where the universe puts you in its way, and you have to move that direction. Remember, Mars energy is impatient, so you might have to practice patience. That Mars energy wants action, and maybe it's not required of you at this moment in time. So that feeling of being pulled in two different directions, beingness and doingness. So however you merge that, if you can't find a way, the best way is to go into meditation or to just hold space until you have clarity about what direction to go. All right, everybody, that is it for me. I will see you tomorrow right here, 8 a.m. Pacific time, 11 a.m. East Coast time. Bye for now.